Welcome back to Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM at 106.1 FM. Switching directions now, we have Brenda Octekam joining us. And Brenda, it's been a little while since we've seen you. How have you been doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Just doing all kinds of things, learning how to conduct our business virtually, and been having a lot of success. And I think we're reaching some new audiences, or same old audiences per se, but in a new way and more convenient way, given the situation that we're all in.
I know you and your colleagues are becoming much more familiar with Zoom and a lot of those online resources.
You could say that, you know, and from a university extension standpoint, we've used Zoom for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So most of us are pretty prominent with it, but now we go from one Zoom to the next Zoom to the next Zoom. Plus, we're hosting more locally, you know, and area-wide Zooms and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Now, before we dive into our topic today, I want to backtrack a little bit with you. Before the flu season hit, we talked about some good hand-washing practices. Can we cover those again now that we're in a season where we really do? The flu season might be behind us, but obviously with this virus, those good hand-washing practices are just as important as they were at the beginning of flu season, if not more important.
Right, they are, and I think all of us get a little nervous. I know I just was listening to on the way into town with, you know, Propel and some of those things that you always want, or Clorox wipes and all of those things. The thing that I would encourage you to do is just soap and water, not even an antibacterial soap, but just soap and water, and then thoroughly lather your hands with that soap for 20 seconds is where you're doing the 20-second thing. You're scrubbing all parts of your hand, and then you're rinsing, and to rinse with warm running water is the best. And then to follow that up with a one-use paper towel is the best, unless you're at home and you're going to, on a regular basis, wash your towel. But paper towels really are the best, and then you're going to dry, because they research shows us that bacteria is less likely to transfer as efficiently from dry to dry rather than from wet to dry or wet to wet, that kind of thing. So that's why you want to dry your hands, even with a blower that we all get irritated with. If a bathroom has a blower, stick it in there and try to blow off as much of the moisture as possible, because it's going to reduce the ability for that bacteria to transfer to, you know, back and forth. But 20 seconds, and that's outside the water. You're just scrubbing with that soap, and that's what's so very important. And the soap, whatever brand you buy, there it has properties in there that's going to help loosen that up, plus the agitation of you rubbing it around is going to help loosen up anything that's on there. And of course, what we're washing, we can't see, so it's not as if you're dirty.
Yeah, it's the you can't see the dirt.
That's what I say. It's the stuff we can't see, you know, and I talk bacteria very much so when washing our hands, but that has nothing to do with the coronavirus. It's a virus, not a bacteria, so a totally different organism that we're talking about.
Different monster entirely. So
right. You know, the other thing is, you bring that up, if you have Clorox wipes, I don't care if they're a brand name or if they're a generic, any kind of wipes, and if you've not read the directions on the bottle, I would encourage you to do that, because I think all of us have always thought cleaning and sanitizing was kind of one and the same. Well, it's not. Mm-hmm. And if you're following anything that Nebraska Extension's putting out, we've been trying to clarify that real easily. Cleaning is hot soapy water that you wipe everything down. Then if you're going to sanitize your kitchen table or your kitchen counters or wherever you're at, then sanitizing is the next step that comes in. And if you're using some kind of a commercially purchased wipe, that wipe is probably going to say that that surface has to stay wet over and over, wiping with that wipe for, I think, up to 2 to 4 minutes if you read the directions on the bottle. And I think that's where a lot of us fall short on that, and I'm right up there with you. But I have taken the time in the last 45 days to start reading some directions, you know, rather than just whipping the wipe out of the can.
We have more time now, too, so utilize it appropriately.
Well, it is appropriately, but I think it just shows how we get into our hurry world, and for some reason, someone thought we ought to all slow down and smell the roses and read the directions on things.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Now, of course, business as usual at the extension as much as possible. I know that you're still teaching some courses.
And it is. It is pretty much business as usual. County staff are there day to day. Our office is locked, but if you go, you know, I'd encourage you to call ahead of time if you're going to go. If you want something, they can put us in you can get in contact with any of my coworkers and university faculty through that phone number. County staff's there and answering that and doing jobs to put our programs together. And, yeah, a lot of what we're doing is virtually or Zoom-type meetings, that kind of thing. The thing that I want to inform everybody about today, starting in May, and then I'm going to continue it through June, Nebraska Extension here in North Platte is going to do pressure canning pressure canner testing. And we haven't done this for a number of years, so I'm glad to bring this back. And I think it's in light of all of us are probably at home or thinking about gardening and then thinking about how we're going to preserve those foods that we harvest, and we're going to be in control of what, you know, is made up of the item that we're going to have in that canned jar. So pressure canning testing is when you have a weight or you have a dial gauge on your pressure canner, and if that dial is not sitting on zero, or if it's cracked, or if there's any moisture in there, if you've bumped it, or you know you've dropped that lid of any way from last year's canning season till now, or maybe you just picked up a pressure canner at a secondhand store or a garage sale or something like that, USDA really recommends that you test that gauge annually. And so that's what we're going to be able to do with the Extension office. And even though the door is locked, you're welcome to come out. And in our entryway, there's going to be all the instructions for how you go about giving us the information. And really, we want your name, your phone number, and then you're going to put a tag on your pressure canner gauge or lid. And it's best to bring the whole lid so that we can inspect the lid. We're going to inspect the gasket. We're going to look for any default, and then give you back a sheet 24 hours later that you can pick back up with your gauge and with your lid, reconfirming if your pressure gauge is on. So we're going to calibrate that gauge against our tester to see if you're off poundage-wise. And that's really important, so that if you're supposed to be preserving something at 10 pounds and your gauge in all actuality is a pound low or a pound high, I'm going to be able to tell you that after we test it, and then you don't have to go spend the money to buy a new gauge. You're just going to adjust up or down by what I give you when
Interesting.
You put your canner back up.
This is potentially a big money saver for people.
It is a huge money saver, and as you bring up money, that's always a kicker. But there is a $5 charge, and that's all going to be inclusive in our entryway at our office, south of North Platte, off of State Farm Road. And it's going to be $5 a gauge, and that's only so that I can maintain my testing equipment and pay for what I've purchased
sure.
up front. But yeah, I would think that $5 goes a long ways versus a whole new gauge.
Definitely.
Right.
Well, and it's one thing, too. People need to understand that you guys always, there are some charges sometimes, but it's a matter of breaking even.
That's exactly right, and that's the difference probably between using Nebraska Extension for something and someone else. We're not going to try mm-hmm. to push one product. We're going to give you the general ingredient or the bare minimum that we possibly can for things. But nope, so I would encourage anybody from 9 to 4, really, to bring out your pressure gauges. Find them in the entryway, out off of State Farm Road, in the local Extension office here in North Platte. Anybody, it doesn't matter what county you come from, put it there. The information's there. You're going to put a tag on there. You're going to put $5 with your phone number and your name in an envelope. And then my county staff members, who are going to be critical in this whole thing, are going to help me out in testing those and giving you an analysis of your canner lid as well as that gauge, and if the poundage is off and so forth, and then you can pick it up, you know, 24 hours later.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it should be a cool way for us to be able to manage this, you know, and then start paying attention to our website. Our local website is llm.unl.edu, and we're going to, I'm hoping to increase some opportunities for canning knowledge and information into preserving. In fact, I've been doing some live Facebooks on drying. Fruits and Vegetables was here a couple weeks ago, and that's up on our Facebook page. And then I have a drying of meats coming this Friday.
Okay.
And what I want to do is bring out the new research related to drying meat. And I think a lot of us, even around the wild game and the bird and so forth, have always done some jerkies, that kind of thing. But on Friday from 10 to 11, I'm going to be live on our Facebook site sharing the up-to-date information on drying whatever kind of meat you're going to do, whether it's ground beef or whether it's, you know, a chuck roast, or whether you have some duck in the freezer or something, pheasant or whatever that you want to turn. There are some new things and some new concerns that came about in the last 10 years related to E. coli that I don't mm-hmm. think everybody's aware of. So I'm going to do that through live Facebook on Friday.
Awesome. Something for yeah. folks to look forward to. And again, yeah. the website, if they want to get more information, Brenda?
Our local website that I'm trying to feed a lot of this preservation stuff to right now is LLM, which is Lincoln Logan McPherson, .unl.edu. And the other website that I'd throw out there is, if you've not used the University Extension website, is food.unl.edu. And there's lots of information up on the food website.
I can imagine.
Yes.
Brenda, as always, we appreciate Great. The time. Stay healthy, and we'll see you again in a month, hopefully.
Thank you.
More coming up on KODY after a check of news.